Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 41, and the whisper menu for tonight includes a quote about adults being like big children. And in the meta chat, I'll tell you about a new future episode type, which you may love or hate. Well, I'll find out. You'll find out. And I'll also share survey stats, as usual. And I have feedback from Patty, Ja, Samara, and Kate that I'll be sharing. And I'll finish off with a fade out, which will be browsing a baking catalog. If you are a new listener, then welcome to my little world of whispers. My email is sleepwhispers@gmail.com, and my website is sleepwhispers.com, and there's links and stuff on the website and in the show notes of each episode. All right, let's get on to my whispered ramblings and whispered readings. Tonight's quote is by Marion Wells, and here's what she has to say. Grown-ups are like big children, only they are bossier, and they say they are always right. The interesting thing about this quote is that Marion was only 10 years old when she said this. And I don't know who Marion Wells is. I put the quote from her in my quote book a long time, and it is handwritten, and I don't remember writing it, so I don't remember where I found it, if this was someone I actually knew, or something I heard somewhere. I don't know. I Googled her name and this quote, and I still didn't find anything. So, I don't know who she is and where it came from, but I really like this quote. And the fact that she was only 10 when she said it. I definitely did not have the wisdom of Marion when I was 10 years old. I thought grown-ups knew it all, and I kind of thought they were right, and that when I became an adult that I would understand the strange wisdom of their ways. Um, Yeah, and I sort of did. What I realized is that when you become an adult, is when you understand that adults really are just bigger and older children. I certainly felt this way when I became an adult. So, Marion, I agree with the first point in your quote because I am like a big child. And when I turned 18 or 21 or even older, nothing magical happened. I did not become omniscient, and that was a huge disappointment. In many ways, I think and I feel in very similar, not exactly, but similar ways as I did when I was much younger. I definitely have more awareness and a bit less impulsivity, but I am still far from perfect. And Marion, I also agree with your second point. I am also bossier now that I'm an adult. I think I am bossier, and other adults are bossier. It's because of expectations, like whether it's our jobs. Or it's being parents. As we get older, we just become responsible for more things and for more people, which means we have to make decisions, which then results in us being bossier. Guess that's where it comes from, and it's just part of growing up, unfortunately. That necessity of having to make decisions. Yeah, I think. And Marion, your third and I guess yeah, third and final point of your quote is also truthful and yet also dramatic. I often do think I am always right, at least at the moment that I make the decision or do the action. I often have to make a decision, and so I make what I think is right at that moment. But then sometimes reflect on it later and wonder, what the heck was I thinking? So, Marion, I really don't know who you are. Where you are today, or where I found your quote. But I know you have reached adulthood. And now you are even more aware of how true your insight was when you were 10 years old. I am not a perfect adult, and there may not be any perfect adults, but many of us are trying to be better individuals as we get older. It is definitely a long and slow journey that is sometimes challenging and sometimes difficult, but it is also often rewarding and often enjoyable. Yeah, I definitely feel that. All right, that's all I have to say about that. All right, on to the meta chat. Alright, for the meta chat, I'm going to tell you about a new future episode type, which you may or may not like. I'll tell you about it in a second. Or in a minute. In a couple minutes. And I'll share some survey stats and some feedback from Patty Ja, Samara, and Kate. I first want to tell you, though, about how I'm going to change the label on some of my episodes. So right now, like this label, I don't want to word this. All right. I think here's the way to explain it. I used to label a lot of my episodes with full show. And that was helpful to let you know what kind of show it was. But I now realize that that's not a great description. Because then it makes all the other shows sound like half shows or mini shows, which they're really not. A lot of them are also like long shows. So I've come up with a better title for shows like this one, where I have like a quote and then meta chat. And then a fade out. And the new label is going to be menu. So, and this makes better sense than full show. Because you know, at the beginning of each episode, when I say, and here's what's on the Whisper menu for tonight. And that's what all these shows have in common is. There's several different things I do on the show, and I always introduce them by saying, here's what's on the Whisper menu. So now I'm going to label these as menu shows. So that's going to be the new label for shows like this one. Alright, the next thing I want to tell you about is the new type of episode, which will also have its own new label on it. Alright, I'm kind of scared to tell you about it. Well, scared. Well, yeah, I get scared, but more like nervous. Maybe embarrassed. Oh no, it's just an idea I've had, and I just keep thinking about it, and I want to at least try it. And you know, I can't shy away from trying new ideas when I get them. I just have to forge through and see how it goes. Alright. Blah, blah, blah. Alright. What I want to do is I want to try. I can't even say it. I want to try recording me eating or drinking while also whispering. I know what the problem with this idea is, that a lot of people do not like to hear someone else eat or drink. But there is also a niche of people who do like to hear that. Niche. Is it niche or niche? Niche, niche. I've heard it said both ways, and I know I've looked it up before and seen that both ways are acceptable. I tend to say niche, but I kind of wish I said niche. I like the sound of niche better. Niche. Niche sounds like something annoying, like a bad itch. Right, blah, blah, blah. All right, back to eating and drinking into the microphone. It does stimulate ASMR in some people. And so there are lots of ASMR videos with people eating and drinking and mouth sounds. And I've been seeing lots of references lately to Korean videos that are getting more popular of watching people eat huge meals. It's called mukbang, which that's, I don't know what that translates into, mukbang. So I think part of my interest in wanting to try it is I do like it also. If it's done in a subtle way, I've definitely seen some videos and heard some audio where it's crazy obnoxious chomping and slurping. I don't like that. My idea, or the way I plan to do it, is this could be a mix of whispering with subtle eating and drinking sounds. And then if there's the food, it will probably have the ASMR trigger sounds of the food. Like if there's a wrapper, there's going to be some crinkling sounds with that. And then I might add in also information about the food item. I don't know. I haven't done it yet, so see how I do it. The key thing for this podcast is that if I do that, they will definitely be their own episodes. I'm not going to integrate that into a menu episode, an episode like this one. They'll be clearly labeled. Although I haven't decided what the label will be. I don't know, something like food whispers. I don't know, eating, drinking. I don't know, I haven't decided on the label, but they'll be their own episodes. And they'll be labeled. And so you can try them. Or you can just ignore them, but I do always welcome your feedback. So whether or not you like them, definitely let me know. because that always helps me make decisions about what to keep as well as how to improve things. All right, I also would like to share an email I received recently from Patty. Here's what she said. Hi. Just an FYI. I listened to some early podcasts throughout the night. I can't sleep. And I was surprised at the noisy recordings. Wow. You've done a great job improving audio quality over the months. I often wondered, week to week, why in the world you were tweaking your equipment, etc., etc. To me, the recordings were just fine. Now at week 38, I understand. The difference is amazing. Nice work, Harris. Thanks so much. Patty, you made my week. I've been wondering if anyone can tell the difference in the audio quality with all the changes I've made since the beginning. So, yay, your email filled me with giddy happiness. I've tested my new current microphones against all my other microphones, and they are the best yet. They do have a downside, though, is that they are very sensitive, and I had a challenge in one of the recent recordings I did, because they picked up the sound of someone playing basketball in my driveway. But the good news is that new software that I bought recently does an amazing job with noise reduction, but it can also do something that couldn't do before, and that's to clean out specific sounds. Like, it's almost like spot cleaning. I used to do my editing and noise reduction by viewing a waveform file, and that just shows the volume of each sound. So, if there was a loud noise or some noise that occurred when I wasn't talking, I could get rid of that. But I couldn't remove a noise if it occurred while I was talking. But I now can, with my new software, because it doesn't just show me a waveform, but it shows me a spectrogram of the audio frequencies. It's really cool. And so, in the recording with the basketball noise, it was happening at the same time as my vocals. But in the software, I could see that the noise of the basketball was at a lower frequency than the sound of my voice. So I basically like took an eraser and I erased out the noise of the basketball, and it didn't affect my voice at all. That's such tech nerd blabberwocky stuff. Makes me excited. Alright, besides techie blah blah, the benefit to you and other listeners is that I can make not only just better normal recordings, but like the Food Whispers one that I plan on doing is going to sound a lot better with all this equipment and software. And also, I can finally do a better catalog browsing recordings, which is one of the reasons why I'm going to do one tonight. And so you hear that. And so when I get to introducing tonight's fade out, I'll explain how it's going to be different from prior catalog browsings. So stay tuned for that. Or I shouldn't tell you to stay tuned. Go to sleep and don't listen to it. Your sleep is more important than my blah blah. I also recently received a website comment from Ja, and the comment was about the recent episode I did about the history of Thanksgiving. Here's what she wrote. I died laughing at the pigeon pie part. Woke up the entire house, which consists of Peach, Felix, and Miss Bear, the dog and the two cats that own me. Peach bites me when I'm too loud. It's all your fault. You just had to pause and giggle. It's hard to imagine eating pigeons. LOL. Gratitude, Harris. Ja, your website comment at first confused me, because you started it with died laughing, and I saw that it was in response to the history of Thanksgiving. And my brain at first couldn't understand why you thought the episode was funny, because I didn't remember saying anything funny. And then when I read your explanation, it made sense, but I was also impressed. I remember reading that part and thinking that it was very funny, but I truly thought I had done a very good job at suppressing my amusement. But you noticed, which means you and I have a similar sense of humor. That's a big part of it, I bet. But also that you know me, and you know what triggers my funny bone. And I think all I did was just pause. I don't think I actually giggled. I don't think so. But you read that pause. us, and I probably let out a little bit of nose air. And you noticed, like you just knew that I was suppressing laughter. I don't know, I'm impressed by that. It also makes me wonder if you work for the FBI or maybe the CIA, because you got crazy good people reading skills. Alright. Thanks again for your website comment, Agent Ja. I'm on to you. Alright, I also have some stats and comments to share from the podcast survey. I've received 21 responses to the new survey. And in the last menu episode like this one, I shared the stats for the survey question. How much of each episode do you usually listen to? And now I'll share the stats for the survey question. Where do you listen to this podcast? And so I think this is an interesting one, because you can kind of think about where you are right now and see if that fits with the way others answer this question. All right, the first choice for where do you listen to this podcast was at home, in bed. 71% said always, or selected always, and 29% selected usually. The next choice was at home, sitting in a room. 71% selected never. 14% selected rarely. 10% sometimes. And 5% always. The next option was at home, while moving around and doing something. 71% selected never, 19% rarely, 5% sometimes, 5% always. The next option was if you listen at work. 86% selected never, 5% selected sometimes, and 10% selected usually. The next option was if you listen at school, and 100% selected never. And the last option was if you listen while traveling or commuting. 81% of you selected never, 10% sometimes, 10% usually. So overall, the responses, you know, pretty much make sense that 100% of respondents selected always or usually that you listen in bed. So chances are you're lying in bed right now. It's not even chances. I mean, according to this, if it extrapolates to every listener, then I can bet that you are in bed listening to this. The other extreme response was that no one listens at school. Now, this is again for those that have filled out the survey so far. So if you're at school listening to this, us know if then, like, you could be. Now, what's interesting to me is that some of you, and this is a small minority, which is kind of a redundant term, small minority, a minority of you, listen while sitting in a room at home, moving around at home. So I don't know if you listen while you're folding laundry or doing chores or fixing something broken. I don't know. And some of you listen at work. That's curious. And some of you listen while traveling or commuting. And I think I could see that working, especially if you're commuting on a plane ride, a long one, and you have headphones. But I would be very surprised if anyone listens in their car over their car speakers, because I've never tried it, but I don't think it'd be easy to hear. I don't think so. I don't think it's that loud. But anyway, I thought all that was interesting, of that some of you listen in these other situations besides just in bed. Since the last survey update, I've received 2 new survey responses from Samara and Kate, and so I'll share their feedback about the podcast, and each has some relaxation tips for you. Alright, here is Samara's feedback about the podcast. It makes me feel at peace and have a positive mind. This podcast helps me to get through sleep, college, and being me. Here's some relaxation tips from Samara. I usually read love poems, hug my cat, bake some sweets, pray to my goddess or gods, use herbs. Or I listen to this podcast because he has a sexy voice. Samara, if you were trying to make me blush, it worked. You definitely caught me off guard with that last part. The first time I read it, and even every time I read it, I am definitely not trying to sound sexy. I'm not even sure how I would do that. Welcome to sleep with... Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I think I'd end up sounding like a serial killer or something. I think if anything, I can be accused of trying to sound dorky. Or at least, that's what I think comes naturally. I probably just don't take compliments well. I get awkward. I'm already getting flippy flappy. Alright. I gotta move on before I get any more ridiculous and continue to embarrass myself. The next feedback is from Kate, and here's what she shared about the podcast. Thank you, and please keep it up. It's been really helpful to me, and I'm grateful for you and this podcast. My only request would be more episodes, but that's just me being kind of greedy. I'm sure doing this once a week takes more time and effort than I can imagine. Looking forward to more batch episodes. Here's some relaxation tips from Kate to you. This has probably been said already, but when struggling to fall asleep, never look at the clock. Seeing how late it is only makes me panic about how I should be sleeping already. And then it's even harder to fall asleep. And it never helps the next day to know just how little sleep I got. It's better to have no idea what time it was when I finally fell asleep. Otherwise, I find it far too easy to dwell on only having slept X hours all day. And then it sets me up for being in a grumpy mood and assuming it'll be an awful day. Kate, thanks for your feedback. I actually have put out more than one episode per week recently, and I may try more of that in the future. And it'll definitely be more batch episodes. Yeah, they probably won't all be in this menu style, but a mix of menu episodes, batch episodes, and like single topic episodes. Kind of like the Whisperpedia one I did recently. Also, great suggestion about not looking at the clock, and no one has mentioned that yet. And I never thought about that. I definitely do the opposite, meaning I look at the clock. And not only do I look at it, but I have my clock set up so it's like right in my line of sight. When I open my eyes, it's like it's high up, so I don't need to really turn my head if I'm lying on my back. So it's probably a good idea that I move that clock, and if I wake up in the middle of the night, then just let it be, rather than fixating on the time ticking by, just like you explained. Just a great suggestion. Thank you, Kate. If anyone else is interested in completing the survey, there is a link in the show notes of this episode, and there's a link on the website. All right. On to the tuck in and the fade out. All right, for tonight's fade out, I'm going to be browsing a baking catalog. So I initially looked at the favorite fade outs in the surveys from Ja and Kate. Ja, you mentioned you love all the fade outs. That's wonderful to hear. And Kate, you stated a preference for survey readings, list readings, and catalog browsings. And this is a perfect time for me to try my improved setup for another catalog browsing fade out. And tonight's catalog browsing should sound a lot better than my prior ones because I now have better microphones. But one of the biggest changes is that I'm going to be adding two more microphones when I do tonight's catalog browsing. So I will be whispering into two microphones, and then I'll be setting up two more microphones to pick up the sounds of the magazines. And this should result in a much more like realistic sound with four microphones capturing all the sound rather than just two. All right, well, I hope you like it. Now it's time for the tuck-in, followed immediately by the fade out. If your lights are on, go ahead and turn your lights off. If you have a mobile device with you, which has a screen, go ahead and turn the screen off and set the device aside. Adjust your pillows just the way you like them. Adjust your covers just the way you like them. Find a comfortable position. Try lying on your side. Or maybe lie on your back. Or lie on your front. Whichever is the most comfortable for you. Relax the muscles in your legs. Relax the muscles in your arms. Relax the muscles in your shoulders. Allow your entire body to melt into your bed. Now focus your mind on one good thing from today. Something good that happened to you. Or something good someone did for you. Or something good you did for someone else. This will be the happy thought you will focus on if you find your mind wandering during the fade out. Finally, allow your entire body to fully relax. Focus your mind on that one happy thought. And breathe in and out slowly at a pace that feels relaxing and comfortable for you. Browsing a baking catalog. And this is actually a holiday baking catalog. So there will be probably lots of winter and holiday themed baking items. First page on the left, they have gingerbread cookie cutters. And the picture is showing some rolled out molasses brown dough with some gingerbread men cut out. They have a little dust of flour on them. On the right side are winter spice stamp cookies. Our new winter baking spice and star themed cookie stamps add holiday charm to these buttery, tender brown sugar cookies. On the next page, on the left, it's showing a menagerie Springerlay rolling pin, and it looks very antiquated. It's all made out of wood, and it has designs carved into it. Let's see, the description says, charming hand-finished Springerle pin featuring traditional Swiss animal designs. On the right side is a bezel maker, and it produces two thin, crisp, sturdy cookies in under 30 seconds. It has some neat designs in the grill part of it. Kind of classic bezel cookie designs, like stars. The next page on the left has almond-filled sweet bread mix. Describe it as festive bread with traditional almond filling. And they're showing it in looks like a pan shaped like a tree. Like a pine tree shape. And the bread has white glaze on it. Probably confectioner's sugar, and then sliced almonds. On the right side, there's eggnog streusel muffin mix. Says our mix makes 12 spiced muffins with classic eggnog flavor in a sweet streusel topping. And it's showing a bunch of muffins on a cooling rack. And there's a plate next to the muffins on the cooling rack, which shows one of the muffins cut in half and ready to eat. These next two pages are showing jars of spice, and they go across both pages. So it starts over here on the left with chai spice, then Yuletide cheer spice, then a jar of speculoos spice, and then they continue over to the right, a jar of winter spice, and then a jar of gingerbread spice. And then the last image on the right is the bundle of six different spices. So if you can't decide, you can just get the entire set. Above the jars of spices, as those go along the bottom row of the pages, above the jars are several bottles. And over here on the left is Vermont boiled cider. And they describe it as apple in a bottle, tart and sweet, adds just picked apple flavor to baked apple dumplings, pies, muffins, and more. In the middle is a jar of pure vanilla extract. It says our blend of full-bodied Madagascar vanilla and aromatic Tahitian vanilla is a superior product, more concentrated than ordinary vanilla extract. Its rich, distinctive vanilla flavor comes through beautifully in baked goods. And in a third bottle, which is on the far right side of the two pages, is almond extract. Rich, round almond flavor with no bitter aftertaste. A wonderful accent for fruit cobblers or scones. On the next page is all about cocoa, and it shows five different piles of cocoa powder. There's black cocoa, double Dutch dark cocoa, triple cocoa blend, Dutch processed cocoa, and cocoa rouge. Cocoa rouge is a Dutch processed cocoa, which has a rich, deep red color, an intense chocolate essence that lends a deeper, richer taste to your baked goods. On the right side is a 5-pound block of caramel. Rich, smooth, and irresistible. This caramel is one of the best we've tasted. Perfect for dipping or using in your favorite recipes. The next page on the left has flavor extracts and oils. Extracts and oils are both flavor enhancers, often in an alcohol base that allows the flavor to disperse evenly. And they have red velvet flavor, cream cheese flavor, buttery sweet dough flavor, sea salt caramel flavor, pumpkin and lemon, raspberry, coconut, maple, key lime. On the right side, they're showing glass bottles and long dried vanilla beans. It's a make your own vanilla kit kit comes with 3 swing top bottles, 6 vanilla beans, and 3 chalkboard labels. Next page is another kit, and it's for making a gingerbread house. Comes with 2 icing packs and 5 different types of candy. Page on the right side has a holiday baking essential parchment paper, and they have the non-stick reusable parchment paper in a pre-cut form, or you can get it in a roll. And they also sell plastic wrap, so everything you need to bake and then store your baked goods. The next page on the left is a cool item, which is a freezer cookie tray. It says, simplify holiday baking and store make ahead cookie dough in these trays. So you can make your cookie dough ahead of time. And then the tray looks like an ice cube tray, but it has a lid, and so you just put your cookie dough into each of the compartments and then put the lid on and freeze it until you're ready to make more cookies. Page on the right is all set of information about how to make and prepare almond dark chocolate butter cookies. And it has the recipe for the cookies. And it has a recipe for the topping that goes on the cookies. And then they explain how to make the dough. And then they explain how to make the topping. And then full instructions for baking the cookies. And then full instructions for assembling the cookies. The next page shows peppermint frosted brownies, a holiday dessert made for sharing. Mix up a batch of deep, rich chocolate brownies with a cool peppermint frosting. And so it's a kind of a classic looking dark brown brownie with then white peppermint frosting on top. And then on top of the frosting, Looks like crushed candy canes. On the right side, it's showing an iced chai latte cake. It says, "We've turned one of our favorite beverages into a cake. A sweet, tender cake spiced with cinnamon, ginger, cardamom, allspice, and cloves, coated in a creamy vanilla milk icing." And it's showing a bun style cake, a round cake with a hole in the middle. The next page is showing a large stack of pancakes with maple syrup slowly dripping down the sides. Farmhouse pancake gift set. Our tasty, easy pancake mix. A quick stir with our whisk. And some incredible Vermont maple syrup to top them off. And you're ready for a warm winter breakfast. And it is a big stack of pancakes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pancakes. Page on the right is showing small cut up cheesecake bars, and it looks like they have maybe a graham cracker crust on the bottom. There's a description for a vanilla bean cheesecake mix. Cheesecake in bar cookie form. Yep, made with real vanilla bean. And a decadent buttery graham cracker crust. These fluffy, creamy cheesecake bars are your new go-to dessert. And there's 5 small squares cut up. And they're sitting on parchment paper, which is then sitting on a cooling rack. And now I'm just going to quietly browse through some more of the catalog. I hope you are deeply relaxed, or even better, deeply asleep. Good night.